Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour is brought to you by Menards.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by ComEd. Sign up for outage alerts at ComEd.com.
Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, I mean, it's that sprint. It's no longer that marathon where you can kind of get off to a shaky start or even kind of an indifferent start. For me, I feel like this team's going to go either really, really good or really bad to start. So I would like to think we're going to go really good to start. I mean, we have the youth, we have the talent. I think in this situation that nobody's really ever been in, I think youth might help out with how we're going to be doing things here. We got speed. I mean, we got everything we need to compete with everybody, with every other team. It's just really who gets out to that hot start and kind of continues it. So nobody knows what that's going to be like until we step on that field the 24th. But you know, we got everything we need.
That's kind of a weird thing to say. We're going to be really good or really bad. Why would you say you think you might be really bad? Didn't we follow up on that? Like, why? Why do you think you're going to be? It's possible you could be really bad. I don't want to hear that from a veteran and a team leader, an important offseason signee. Come on, man. This segment brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. And we're joined now by Lamond Pope of the Chicago Tribune. He's at Lamond Pope on Twitter, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Lamond. How are you?
Doing well, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Why would he say that? Why would he offer the possibility that they could be really bad?
Well, I think it's a situation where, like he was talking about, with the youth, you know, you just never really know what kind of direction some of these young players are going to go on. It's sort of building off of that, off of last year. You know, obviously, guys like Giolito had a lot of success. Guys like Mancada took that next step. Tim Anderson obviously went in the batting title. And now it's kind of trying to build upon that. Seeing, you know, if Eloy Jimenez can take that next step, they're obviously going to be relying a lot on a guy like Luis Robert. And so, you know, there are a lot of young pieces that are unproven. And so, you know, in the 60-game season, they're going to be tested right off the bat. And which way will the team go? That's going to be to be determined.
And I guess Keuchel looked really good yesterday, so good, in fact, that they wanted him to have a little bit of pressure, so they had to artificially create a jam for him to get out of.
Yeah. He retired his first nine batters in order, and so then they began the fourth inning of yesterday's inter-squad game with runners on second and third, and they brought the infield in, and then he promptly got a ground ball to second baseman Nick Madrigal, who threw the runner out at the plate, and then he got the next batter out on another ground out, and that was that first day. But the weird thing about that as well is he said that he kind of felt with lethargic afterwards. He said that, you know, in some of his outings, he's going to feel sharp from the first pitch, but in this outing, it was sort of a coin toss, and some of the things just kind of went his way.
How's the outfield defense looking, specifically in the areas where we expect there to be some improvement? Because I think if Nomar Mazzara is who he is, we're really talking about Eloy Jimenez and if he can maximize his ability to get a read in the ball and track it.
Yeah, I mean, I've liked the way that Eloy's looked so far out in left field. He's made a couple really nice plays so far in inter squad games. I mean, but that's a big question mark as well. Just overall, you know, with Nomar in right field and with Eloy in left field, I mean, that's gonna, and a rookie in center field and Luis, it's gonna, you know, he's obviously, Luis can kind of go everywhere and get up everything, but you want to have the ability for those other guys to you know, to make those plays, because, you know, when you have guys like a Dallas Keuchel who's going to pitch the contact, you know, defense is going to be crucial. And so, you know, it's going to be a situation with both Eloy and with Nomar, you know, making those strides and making those improvements that are going to be very important for this team.
Are you hearing anything about a potential return timeline for Yoan Moncada?
Nothing yet. You know, we keep asking, and there's no news on that front. And even when he does return, you know, the question then becomes, you know, how long will it take him to be prepared for the season? You know, we talked to hitting coach Frank Menchino the other day, and he said, well, maybe 10 to 15 at-bats kind of get a feel for things, and maybe by 20 he'll be, you know, ready to go. But it's a situation where, obviously, such a key part of that offense and key part of that lineup, you know, I think that, you know, the sooner there's really no time for him to kind of get reacclimated into things. You got to kind of get him in there and get him ready to go, especially when, if you begin the season the way they do, playing against the Twins and the Indians.
Especially with depth issues already, I mean, point with Andrew Vaughn taking grounders at third, I would think that's got to be for a late game emergency. Or just to see it, perhaps. I mean, I hope that that's not going to be their plan, because
No, it won't be. It's a little bit also, they've done that in the past with some other players, just sort of kind of get him, become a little more agile, work on a little bit of his footwork in the case of Vaughn. But yeah, the option is, you know, get Moncada back as soon as possible and sit him on in there so he can be that main sneaker over at third base.
Something I had asked about, and I want to get your take too on what it means for Jose Abreu's role as a leader, especially with some of the young Spanish-speaking or primary Spanish-speaking players in Robert and Jimenez. We always sort of naturally connected the dots there and saying, boy, he's gonna really be helpful as a presence to them and as a guide to them, a sounding board, etc. But when you're not in the clubhouse, really, when you don't have those same kind of interactions, that presence can't mean as much. How do they make sure it still does? How do they overcome some of these proximity limitations?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of those things to look at going forward, for sure. I mean, it's a challenge for everyone that's been associated with this. Yeah, obviously, in the case with Jose, you know, being such a leader for a guy like Luis, for a guy like Eloy, I mean, that's a challenge for everyone associated with the team, just to kind of figure out ways to still get the message across, still provide that sort of leadership. I mean, social distancing stuff, some of those rules are going to be broken a little bit, you know, but I think it's a situation where they're going to be challenged, and it's going to be a little more of a test to kind of provide that leadership that those guys are used to, especially in the clubhouse and in those moments away from the field.
Is there a battle for third catcher between Zach Collins and Sebi Zavala?
Well, it's more Zach Collins and Yermín Mercedes, and both of them, had really strong springs. Mercedes has shown some tremendous pop. Collins has had a really good summer camp here as well. He's hit a couple home runs, hit one yesterday. And so for that, you know, the emergency catcher situation, you know, and it might be, you know, in the case of Mercedes, they've had him at third base some, they've had him out in left field some. He's looked, you know, kind of shaky. He's had his moments there at third base. He made a really nice play on a liner from a hit by Luis the other day, but then he also made a couple errors, throwing errors at third base. And And in left field, he made a diving catch on a ball hit by Eloy. And so he's had some good moments out there in those other positions, but he's also had some sort of shaky moments. But, you know, Zach has sort of has made some real strides there at the plate. He's looked really sharp and really comfortable there at the plate. And so it'll be really interesting to see what kind of direction they go with that catcher spot.
Yeah, Yermín Mercedes is really interesting just because he's such a must-watch in the batter's box. The BP rounds that I saw him taking in Glendale were insane. I mean, it was the whole, like they say, a different sound off the bat. There were other players who were stopping what they were doing to watch. I mean, just from an entertainment perspective, I would love to see them get just some at-bats for him for fun.
He does not get cheated, right? Every single time he's up at the plate, he's going to get his money's worth. Initially with this 30-man roster, you know, when they're kind of constructing that, that'll be the thing to look at is what kind of role will these extra players play? Obviously, the focus and the emphasis is going to be on the pitching aspect of it because you're not going to overuse these arms early on, but when it comes to these extra position players, what do you want to get out of these guys in these sort of situations? And so that's going to be part of the decision making when they're building this 30-man roster.
It sounds like most teams are sort of agreeing that stretching out starters, if you can get five good innings before you start getting into the rest of your high leverage bullpen, that's about what you want here, considering what's a reasonable amount of time. Does Ricky Renteria agree? I mean, and how much of that is just, even without a 60-game season or a pandemic, is just following modern trends of what's expected from what we call a starter?
No, yeah, and I totally agree with you on that. I mean, I think it's a situation where I think most of these guys have come on into the summer camp or returned from summer camp from baseball's break in pretty good shape. You know, Giolito, he was throwing against live batters in Sacramento, and so he's been able to get stretched on out. Obviously, yesterday Keuchel went four innings. So it's a situation where you want to be in position where you can go five or six for your first round, your first start, and then head on over to that bullpen and kind of, you know, go with an Aaron Bummer and a Evan Marshall and a Steve Cishek and Alex Colomé. And so you know, they have those arms in the bullpen to kind of, you know, those veterans that have been proven. And so if you can get five or six out of your starter, and, you know, Ricky has also mentioned the possibility of an opener or piggybacking with guys as well. And so they have a variety of options they can kind of go with. But I think the big thing is you have to try to get the starters five or six innings and then kind of hand it on over to the bullpen and let them do their thing for those last four innings or so.
Have they had any testing snags like the Cubs have had?
No. They've been one of those teams that's haven't had any delays as far as they haven't had to delay practice. They haven't had to cancel practice. And so from that standpoint, things have gone pretty smoothly. But it's a situation, obviously, just overall with baseball. I mean, if for this thing to work on out, they've got to get that figured on out, and they've got to get that figured out right now.
We're talking with Lamon Pope of the Chicago Tribune. What's it been like for you? Just it's got to be very strange. Just you're starting out on, you know, full time on the beat, and all this is going on. So it's not like you can just kind of settle into your comfy press box and start nibbling on peanuts and doing your job. It's all that this can't be easy for you.
It's been different for sure. I mean, you know, spring, I really enjoyed it. It was, you know, having that, going through my first spring training. It was really that situation where you're in the clubhouse every day and really get the chance to make connections with the players and get to know them better and have them get to know me a little bit better as well. And then now we're in the situation where it's Zoom call after Zoom call, and it's a different challenge and one that we're kind of learning along the way with. And so a lot of things kind of be, you know, kind of look forward to or kind of test on out as the season goes along as well. You know, what's it going to be like for some of these road trips? You know, obviously we're getting used to what things are like over at Guaranteed Rate Field, but also when I, you know, go to Cleveland or something like that, you know, what's it going to be like at Progressive Field as far as their protocols and the way that things are handled. And so, you know, the things I was sort of getting comfortable with last year, making those road trips and going to those, learning where those clubhouses were on the road, now I have to kind of relearn some things and figure on out how those operations work once again.
Lamont, here's something I've been thinking about, too, that I guess I haven't asked this question yet. Last year, the White Sox, whether it was by design or not, began to embrace their outward emotional way of playing the game. Tim Anderson's bat flip, et cetera, some of the stuff that was going on with the Royals and all that. And they found an identity in some of that, to the point where, you know, that's the marketing campaign yeah. for them. And it is about that energy and some of the, it's urban, it's exciting. And the way that Brooks Boyer and his team were packaging the team to change the game to make it new and different and out there and sort of leaning into it a little bit. How do the new protocols and all of this heightened awareness of can I do this and should I do this, doesn't it take away from some of that a little bit? Doesn't it make it, aren't those impediments to playing the way they determined they were comfortable playing?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the challenges for sure. I mean, these guys are, you know, they're used to the hugging and all the rest of that stuff. And you know, that sort of brand of excitement, you know, it's going to be a new twist that everyone's going to have to kind of adapt to and adjust to. And you know, how that kind of shakes on out remains to be seen. There's so many unknowns throughout the game. And this is just another one. And so, just kind of dealing with that on a day-to-day basis, dealing with everything on a day-to-day basis, it's just going to be so brand new and so unknown. That's why, you know, it might be another situation where your initial question, what Dallas is saying. I mean, with one of the things, just with so many unknowns happening, you know, who can really predict what's going to be ahead for this upcoming season?
Yeah, that's a huge lift for Ricky Renteria, is to find a way to continue to let these guys be who they are, this sort of, you know, irrepressible emotional guys. And hell, adding Luis Robert into the mix too, because he's another one who's bouncing off the walls in a good way, and he's just brimming with confidence. And it's going to be keeping them mindful of being safe while also saying, you know, go ahead and be who you are. That is a very difficult balance to strike.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, obviously, with the club so young and with all the other challenges of just the day-to-day baseball operations, right? When you're dealing with a young ball club, just the hitting slumps or the pitching slumps that a guy might be going on through. You know, I mean, that's a challenge enough for a manager. But then you throw in trying to maintain the health and safety protocols and make sure that everyone's following those rules. I mean, that's just another wrinkle and another thing that Ricky's going to have to, you know, be tasked with. With all these managers are going to be tasked with this upcoming season.
Lamont, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it greatly.
Anytime, Dan. Thank you.
That is Lamont Pope of the Chicago Tribune covering the Chicago White Sox. We have a little bit of news that is coming out just now regarding the Marquee Network and Comcast and where those talks may be headed. We will bring you that. I saw a story yesterday, and it's something that we had talked about in length when a certain star athlete was in Chicago with a unique medical situation that is back in the news. And I think it's really important to make sure that we get the right information out there that is lacking certainly at the national level and maybe at the local level too, that really needs to be discussed. The truth needs to be told about it. So we'll get you both of those things coming up next on The Score.
Cubs fans, baseball is back, and The Score has all three Cubs exhibition games starting Sunday. Listen to Pat and Ron bring you all the action of Cubs versus White Sox live at Wrigley Field. Our coverage starts at 6:50.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Chicago Cubs 2020 Exhibition Baseball on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. The day came and went, and Dak Prescott still had no long-term deal from the Cowboys. Now he'll play this year under the franchise tag. Don't play the violin for him. He'll make more cash than he ever has. But we'll be back to doing this again next offseason. That's when the Cowboys really face the music, because while they could franchise him again for 2021, it would mean he's as good as gone if that happens. Dallas would not be able to pay him $52 million in 2022. So a fourth-round pick that shockingly turned into a franchise NFL star would be on the open market at 30. Now, the last two QBs that got franchised left their team. Drew Brees of the Chargers, Kirk Cousins in Washington. Are we headed for the same divorce? The game of chicken just got up the notch in Dallas. This is Damon Amendolaro.
It all started with a grilled cheese sandwich. Two simple pieces of bread, some butter, and a slice of American cheese. But after making it day after day, week after week, I hungered for more. Colby, provolone, Gouda. But Gouda wasn't good enough. I wanted great. I added tomatoes, pickles, jalapenos. If I could birth this gooey work of art in my tiny, modest kitchen, imagine what I could do in a gourmet chef's kitchen. So I called U.S. Bank about loaning me some extra cheddar. Now I had the mad cheese skill and a superior grill. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
What do you want a da-da-da?
What do you want a da-da-da?
I have not a da with a da-da-da.
We could switch to Progressive da-da.
Oh, yeah?
We could switch to Progressive and sa.
Mm-hmm.
We could sa enough to buy some za.
Oh, yeah. Let's switch to Progressive da-da and get some za with the money we saw.
Yeah.
Now we know we're gonna da-da-da.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. It might just be the most normal thing you da-da-da.
Quote da-da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
The Bulls' Kobe White.
Hey, Chicago, if you haven't noticed, we aren't playing right now, and you shouldn't be either. As much as you want to see us play, and as much as we want to play for you, we need your help to get back on the court. Please do your part to help slow COVID-19 down. Please follow all local health advisories, stay home, and help save lives.
The Score is here for you. We're always live and local. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from Radio.com. The Score is helping Chicago stay connected. For more, go to Radio.com/stay connected.
Radio.com has everything you need to stay informed and keep you entertained at home, at work, or on the go. Hear what's going on in your community and the nation with local and national news from CNN, Fox News, and more. Need a break? Radio.com has hundreds of music, sports, and talk stations to keep you going through your day. Love podcasts? Radio.com has thousands of true crime, documentary, comedy podcasts, and more. Listen at Radio.com, the Radio.com app, or your favorite smart speakers and connected devices.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
Gear up for all your favorite teams and sports with Radio.com. The biggest sports stations in America talk about the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA. Get updates on when games will start and how your team stacks up. Find Jim Rome, Tiki and Tierney, and more of the top personalities in sports on CBS Sports Radio. And you'll love Radio.com sports originals like Mike's On with Francesa, Swings and Misses, and You Better You Bet, with the best bets on the biggest matchups every weekday. Gear up with all the shows and podcasts on Radio.com or the Radio.com app.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Water sports are a great summer activity, even this year. First, avoid activities like jet skiing or water skiing. Instead, opting for activities like kayaking or paddle boarding. Swimming, snorkeling, and diving are great activities too, and have virtually no impact on the environment. And if using sunscreen during any of these activities, make sure to use a sunscreen labeled Reef Friendly or Reef Safe to protect marine wildlife. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Opinions about sports, everybody's got them. Mike Francesa's opinions, they're pretty strong.
Sometimes, folks, I watch these games, I wonder where the coaches leave their brains.
If it's happening in sports, Mike's got an opinion on it.
It's only been going on in baseball for 70 years.
Catch Mike's On with Francesa.
Huh?
Weekdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern on the free Radio.com app. Just search Mike.
Let's be honest. This is protect my image, throw somebody else to the alligators before they eat me.
Mike's On. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Ex-Cub and Sosa teammate Mickey Morandini.
There were several things. I mean, the Kerry Wood performance, 20 strikeouts, that's probably
you know, right up there at the top. And just grinding down the last month, you know, we were in a pennant race. It was back and forth. You know, I had never been in a pennant race, obviously, with the Cubs before. It was incredible the way, you know, we had support from the fans. And even on the road, you know, we usually outnumbered the fans on the road. And then, obviously, you know, the Brant Brown game, I always got to talk about it. I hate to, but the drop in left field, it almost cost us a game or cost us a playoff spot. And the game against the Giants, you know, to the play-in game. And then, obviously, the thing, you know, we watched last night, the Sosa-McGuire battle. It was so much fun to be a part of that. I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
We were very close to a deal, and I mentioned this right around the end of our spring training in Arizona. As we were rounding the bend on the last quarter mile on the spring training season, and then they stopped. Quite honestly, with the closure of our spring training sites and the possibility that baseball wouldn't return for the season, the pace of our conversations with Comcast did slacken. Those have picked up dramatically, and including as of Friday, new term sheets being exchanged, and then conversations happening this week. So. I would expect we do reach an agreement with Comcast, in particular as we see the potential for some spring training games, potentially with the White Sox, coming even ahead of the July 23rd or 24th opening day. So pace has picked up, and we're optimistic we'll get something done here soon.
Well, that was 3 weeks ago, because that was June 25th, and then nothing happened. Yet still, there is confidence as we get closer and closer to baseball on Sunday night. And that was the start of our broadcast on Sports Radio 670 The Score with the exhibition game, with the regular season following in short order. But the Sun-Times is now reporting today that Mike McCarthy of the Marquee Network is expressing some optimism himself. He says, I can't speak for Comcast, but I wouldn't want to be in the TV distribution business in Chicago with the Cubs coming back and not having that content. It wouldn't be a fun place to be, I would think. We have a confidence that we're steadfast in. There's a little time left before opening day. It's closing in on us. We're very aware of that. We remain confident that a deal will be made. Not can be made, but will be made. So we have gone from 3 weeks ago exchanging new term sheets and something that appeared imminent, that was certainly not imminent, and now there's still an expression of confidence. Also, I want to get you updated on the latest. We started the show by talking about this expected bombshell story from the Washington Post regarding the football team. Here's Adam Schefter's latest just from minutes ago. Adam Schefter says the Washington Post is preparing a story about its NFL team that's expected to highlight the culture that has existed. Within the past week, front office members Richard Mann III and Alex Santos, as well as radio play-by-play voice Larry Michael, all left the organization. Washington's NFL team hired D.C. attorney Beth Wilkinson to review the organization's protocols, per league sources. While Wilkinson is expected to conduct a deep dive into the organization's past culture, team officials are highly upset/frustrated about speculation running amok. Well, sorry. I mean, there's nothing you can control when there is word out there that this is coming. But the word he uses is preparing. The Washington Post is preparing. So sometimes stories get prepared and they go right into a desk because a lawyer runs down the hall waving her hand saying, no, we can't do this because we have legal exposure. And that's why they have a lot of lawyers who make a lot of money to determine these things. So as we know and as we get information, we will certainly let you know. Meanwhile, also in Washington, a very strange story regarding Elena Delladun of the Mystics, who was here in Chicago for a long time. And we had talked on Boers and Bernstein, even back, going back then, about what she describes as chronic Lyme disease. And she was surprised that a medical exemption request was denied by the WNBA medical panel, made up of doctors agreed upon by both the league and the union, objectively chosen so there would be fair representation. There was representation from union and the league for medical professionals, for doctors, to make these decisions. She tried to claim that she had a weakened immune system, et cetera, because of chronic Lyme disease, and they denied the exemption. And this was some story like, oh my goodness, how could this have happened? Well, it's very simple how it could have happened. There is no such thing as chronic Lyme disease. And there is absolutely no evidence, none, that once the bacterium, the tick-borne bacterium, once it is out of your system and you have successfully destroyed it with antibiotics, there is no actual clinical evidence of chronic Lyme disease, of a recurrence of anything that is left in your body. I have no doubt that she has medical issues that are real, that if she has fatigue and if she has, and whatever she said about her immune system, I don't know how they measure that, whether that's a T-cell count, et cetera, or anything that they do. But when she showed that she takes 64 pills a day and says it's because of chronic Lyme disease, what needs to happen is some sort of medical intervention here. She apparently has been with the same doctor for 9 years. But the fact is, any doctor that does treat chronic Lyme disease as an actual medical syndrome is not credible. And within the medical community, the doctors who quote unquote accept this and are prescribing a regimen like this are believed in fact to be dangerous. So I could only imagine the effect of whatever these 64 different pills are, what that could be on the body of anybody, let alone an elite professional athlete. And there have been, the more you read about this, the culture sort of surrounding this belief in chronic Lyme disease, it starts to read like anti-vaxxers. It starts to read this understanding of an echo chamber where certain doctors have been taking advantage of people who haven't been able to figure out why they feel certain ways. And it gets in this area of Morgellons syndrome and some other psychosomatic illnesses. There's a reason why this medical panel denied the exemption. And what's strange is she is getting paid. She didn't even need the exemption to continue to get paid, and that's why they're the head coach, Mike Tebow, former Bulls assistant, former Omaha Racers head coach, that Mike Tebow is saying, I'm not sure why this is a story. I don't know why this is happening. We couldn't talk about it because of HIPAA, and once she talks about it, we can talk about it, but she is getting paid. This hasn't really been an issue for us, so he was surprised that it actually came out there. So I just want to hear, this is what she had to say. This is the reigning WNBA MVP, Elena Delladun of the Mystics on ESPN.
I got the call that I was denied. I just was completely shocked. I didn't understand. And now it's almost like I'm asked to ignore the one doctor that heard me and has been treating me and is enabling me to kind of live a normal life with the protocol and the treatment he's had me on for years.
How much of your prominence in the sport do you think weighed into the league's decision?
I'm not sure. And I really hope it didn't. I would hope they would treat me as player X. I don't want to believe that that's what happened, but unfortunately, it might be what happened. I take 64 pills a day, and throughout the day, I'm taking these. I know taking that much medication every day probably doesn't have a great effect on my long-term health, but I love the game of basketball. People deserve my honesty and deserve to see the fight that I go through to just have a normal life, let alone be on a basketball court.
This is all very strange, and it has been, but I think that what really is alarming there, when you found this one, it said, well, the one doctor that heard me, it's not a doctor's job to hear you. It's a doctor's job to understand medical practice. And that's scary when you have to go around to find a doctor who's willing to prescribe you 64 pills a day for something that the rest of the medical community says is not a legitimate disorder. And there is a community here that has been taken advantage of by doctors who will be willing to keep cashing your checks to make sure they can keep prescribing and keep involved and have especially somebody who's the best at what she does perhaps in the world. And I don't know if team doctors could say, hey, you know, we really should look at this, because she is who she is. And it's just, it's scary to me. And I really hope that somewhere someone can be advising her, that there can be actual medicine being practiced here, because the more that you read, that there obviously is something happening. She has issues, and I don't know what's measurable and what's not, but there are all kinds of things like chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia and these different things. But chronic Lyme disease is not recognized as an actual disorder. So I remember it having been strange at the time when it was described here, that you get bitten by a tick and there's a bacteria that gets in your system and it makes you sick and you take the antibiotic and then it's out of your system. It doesn't recur in your system. It's not something that you continue to have. Once you don't have it, you don't have it. So it's my hope that I hope she's not being taken advantage / brainwashed by a doctor who has eventually said, oh, what do you have? Sure, I'm happy to treat that, even though no other doctor recognizes this as real. I do, and I'm you know, your money's green here. So you should always be careful if there's one doctor saying, look, no one else will do this. No other doctor will treat this syndrome for you, but I will, because I believe you. That's usually a Svengali of some kind, or a snake oil salesman of some kind. So it got, when I saw the picture of 64 pills, I thought, oh my God. I hope some would be taken for some kind of placebo effect, perhaps, because there is truth. If, just as there's truth to psychosomatic illness, there can be truth in there somehow to placebo effect as well. But it's all very odd. But bottom line, nobody should be surprised that an actual medical panel said, no, we are not getting a waiver for this, because based on everything that's actually medical, this illness, this syndrome does not exist. And I hope she's able to get treatment or help or cure for whatever is actually causing the symptoms that she has. But man, it is weird. So we were talking before about the Buckfast fortified tonic wine, and I didn't know anything about it because it occurs on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. So we thought, why not talk to our buddy who's there, who's maybe had some experience with it? Who knows? But Mark Deeks, who covers the NBA for Sky Sport over in England, one of the most knowledgeable NBA guys. We'll talk to him about the bubble, about Zion Williamson, about Jim Boylan, the Bulls, all of it. Some NBA talk, and we're going to find out about Buckfast from our guy Deeks next on The Score.
Cubs fans, opening day versus the Milwaukee Brewers is just 8 days away.
Swinging a drive to left field and deep. Back to wall. That ball is gone. A grand slam.
Don't miss opening day 2020 as Pat and Ron bring you all the action of Game 1 live from Wrigley Field. Our pregame coverage starts at 5:10. First pitch 6:10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
This segment's brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care. If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local mortgage professionals. Meet Billy, truck driver. He called Team Hochberg last August to secure a cash out refinance to pay off debt with a 650 credit score. Well, Team Hochberg explained to Billy his rate would be higher than the current rates because he was taking money out of his home with a 650 score. Well, Billy paid off over $40,000 of debt. He reduced his payment over $1,300 a month, and he didn't care about the rate. When rates dropped, Team Hochberg helped Billy, whose scores were now over 740, drop his rate into the mid threes, reduced his payment another $100 a month, and covered his closing costs. So if you would like to use your home's equity to eliminate debt, reduce your rate, or shorten your loan term, call Team Hochberg now at 312-855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There has never been a more important time than now to work for a trucking company you can count on. Schneider was founded over 85 years ago during the Great Depression. We've thrived through the good times and the bad, providing truck drivers consistent work and paychecks. Today is no different. Schneider remains loaded and moving while adding new customers because of the outstanding service our drivers provide. Schneider is a company that drivers can always count on. Apply today at SchneiderJobs.com.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. Through its museum in historic Philadelphia, just steps from where the Constitution was signed, and its online interactive Constitution, the center brings together people of all ages and perspectives to learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For podcasts, live programs, constitutional news, and educational resources, visit ConstitutionCenter.org.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Charles Peanut Tillman.
I know a ton of law enforcement officers, a ton, not a few, I know a ton, that do their job and they do it the right way. And a lot of them are federal, a lot of them are local, some of them are state. They do their job the right way. And I'm not saying that all police and that, no, I'm not, that is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the ones that I've had a chance to be around and I know, they do their job the right way. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for them and for what they do and for them risking their necks, keeping me safe at night. I'm very grateful for them and for what they have done.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
We have a young team. You know, we were 23 and a half years old. We had an injury-laden season, you know, so we need to play. We need to compete. We played very hard. We were a hard-playing team. But we want to keep that edge, right, going into next year. And it's hard to do that without the competition part of it. So, you know, we're hoping we can have some of that. We're not in the bubble. It's disappointing. But we still got a lot of work to do, and we're going to do the best we can with it.
Make it stop. Make me stop hearing Jim Boylan's voice as coach of the Chicago Bulls, a hard-playing team. Yeah, you get a six-point lead in the third quarter. You lose by 15. You take a timeout with 20 seconds left to tell Adam Makoka about a baseline out-of-bounds play. Make him go away. Someone, please. Good Lord. I wake up and he's still the head coach of the Bulls. There. Now I'm back in that same awful headspace I was to start the show. Let's talk a little bit of NBA. There's some news from the bubble today. Our friend from the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, Mark Deeks, who is on Twitter at Mark Deeks NBA, writer for Sham Sports and the author of the annual NBA Manifesto, is with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How's life, Mark Deeks?
It remains very strange, slightly less strange, I suppose, but I think restless is probably the best word for it. How is it on the other side of the pond?
It's stupid. It's just stupid. Everybody right. In government is stupid, and every policy is being affected by the behavior of the dumbest, meanest possible people. That's how it is.
You know, between that and your Jim Boylan speech right there, I've clearly caught you in a good mood.
Well, he's still head coach, and you know, there was so many good vibes with Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley, these really respected, smart people involved. And if they forge ahead with this guy still in charge, I'm done. I'm off the train.
Well, they may not have a choice. They may have got the tap on the shoulder and said, we're out of coaching budget. Who knows? Who knows? What I want to know is this. 20 minutes ago, I got a tap on the shoulder myself from your producer, who panically asked me whether I could contribute anything to your discussion about Buckfast. Mm-hmm. Why have you guys been talking about Buckfast? What has happened there? And also, what's happened here? Have you gone through the contacts list and thought, let's get someone British to talk about it? Or have you thought, let's get someone who knows a bit about, you know, hooliganism and mindless violence, which is what Buckfast is associated with in this country? Which one of those am I to you? I'll be your things to all people. I don't care. I just want to know where I stand.
I would say that there's somewhere in the intersection of the Venn diagram that probably made everything just ideal. But it was a story. We do a segment every day called the Midday Midway, where we just look for silly and stupid stories. And the reason I brought this up was the Scottish Sun had a story about a guy and his girlfriend who smashed into a convenience store and he just grabbed a couple of bottles of Buckfast. And then I saw the comments. It was like, well, you can't keep a certain man from the lowlands or whatever it was from his Buckfast. So then I get into this rabbit hole of learning about this fortified, tonic, caffeinated 15% wine and everything associated with it and all of the nicknames for it and the subculture around it. And I thought, maybe this product shouldn't exist.
Maybe. I mean, if you've ever drunk it, you'll know it tastes like a mixture of Red Bull and battery acid. It's not pleasant. It does, let's say, certain things to your brain, by which I mean it gets you very, very mashed, very, very fast, which is the point of it. That article in the Scottish Sun, I haven't seen it today, but rest assured they could write that article every day. It's hard to speak on this without sounding a little bit like the sneering Englishman, because Lord knows Scotland's had enough of that. But there is a culture within the more deprived areas of Scotland, particularly what they call the Buckfast or Bucky Triangle, between two of them, three more deprived places, where, yeah, that's basically what you do. You get a bottle of Buckfast, you set out on the road, you drink that, you throw it between your legs and you shout at dogs. It's a lovely night, good time had by all.
Sounds like a night. Because then in the Wikipedia article, they say the glass bottle has been blamed for contributing to litter and providing drunkards with a weapon. So not only do you drink it, you then have something you can smash somebody with.
Which is arguably the national sport of Scotland. So, you know, everyone's a winner.
Back to the news from the NBA bubble, and that is that Zion Williamson had apparently an urgent family medical emergency that has caused him to leave, and I hope everything is okay with him, but since all roads lead back to me, I'm disappointed I'm not going to get to watch him play.
Yeah, there are many things to look forward to in this bubble, at least until the playoffs start, and not being able to see him will be one of them, and it's been an abridged enough start to his career anyway. Again, like you say, hopefully everything is all right. I suspect, without knowing for sure, that means he won't be able to play at all. Where that impacts the standings and the way things are going to be going forward is the Pelicans weren't realistically in a chance with anything. It was all about having fun on the way down. So I don't think it changes anything from the playoff seedings point of view. I realize we've got the tournament coming up, but that should be the Grizzlies in eighth spot. They should have that locked down. So, yes, it's unfortunate that there's one less thing to look forward to. But the grand scheme of things, we are at least going to have some kind of NBA. It's going to be weird. It's going to be strange. It's not going to be particularly high standard, I expect. I think we're probably going to see a few pulled hamstrings. It's better than nothing, right?
Yeah, and I wonder who is smart enough, whose analytics people are trying to find out what the hack is. And as these sports come back, figuring out where you can gain where others aren't realizing something, whether it's in the style of play or in figuring out how to use your players most efficiently as they come back from this. Obviously, it's just super high variance and nearly impossible to predict. But is there any roster or style of play or combination that you think could succeed in more likely than others?
It's certainly going to reward depth. We're seeing something similar in the Premier League, or the EPL, as you guys quite wrongly call it over here, which has been back for 3 weeks or so. What they've done there's not rolling subs in football/soccer like there is in basketball. So what they've done is they've increased the amount of substitutions you can make so as to get players more rest. Those with something to play for, at least, have rotated their squads more effectively. Now, that, of course, stands to benefit those who have the deeper playing squads, and that would be even more true in basketball. So if we look at the go the other way, for example, take the Utah Jazz, they were already if we can remember back that far, about 15 years ago when we last saw them play, they were already struggling a bit for depth. And since that time, they've lost Bogdanovic to wrist surgery. They're going to struggle even further for depth. Now, it doesn't necessarily matter if they use the few games before the playoffs start just to get everybody back into shape. But then we're looking at a playoff. Rotations get short in the playoffs. That's a given fact that happens every single year. But if they get too short, then we're going to overextend bodies that aren't really ready for it. I don't think anyone's under the illusion that this is an adequate amount of time to go into a high-level, a sport with such great athleticism as the NBA. I don't think anyone's under the illusion that will be fine. So those who are short of depth, like Utah, are going to be tested even further, notwithstanding other issues related to the Jazz, specifically the Mitchell and Gobert pairing on and off the court, and whether they're synchronized. They're going to be sorely tested for just not having the depth to get through this when depth is going to become more important, given that no one's going to be in the best shape.
Is there any way of determining which teams and or players feed off crowd energy more than others? Because, you know, we've talked about it with baseball and you know, the closer coming in to pitch the ninth inning to all the cheers and getting all revved up. But that's not a sport you can play harder. It doesn't really matter in golf because you're probably better off. You're probably more efficient without people screaming at you and having that kind of pressure. But basketball, you can. And you can decide, all right, here we go. Let's play harder. And with everything piped in, it's just not going to be the same. Who do you think might be affected by that?
I don't know how to answer that, but forgive the fact that I'm using only anecdotal evidence here rather than anything statistical. Let's go back to the EPL right now and the games that have been played over the last few weeks. They're all behind closed doors. They're not in neutral venues, but they are all behind closed doors. And yet, there's still evidence of the equivalent of home court advantage. So how much of it there becomes psychological about comfort zones? If that's true, in the NBA, no one's going to be in their comfort zone. Is it the great equalizer? I don't know how to answer who will do better. I mean, my instinctive reaction would be that those who already enjoy good home court support, such as the Toronto Raptors, will suffer more greatly for it. I don't know how to measure that. But considering everyone is in the same really weirdly shaped boat, I think we're just going to have to assume a kind of homogeneity, a blanket weirdness that won't make any significant difference to the movement of the needle. It's going to come down more, I believe, to the depth of the various teams involved.
Talking with Mark Deeks, NBA expert on Sports Radio 670, The Score. And the Knicks are interviewing head coaches. Some of those names actually have come out, with Tom Thibodeau remaining the favorite there. It was even said
that
Bulls assistant Chris Fleming would be possible there. And meanwhile, Bulls fans are thinking, you can't let the Knicks, you know, beat you to a coach here. If it's Ime Udoka or if it's Adrian Griffin, the names that have been most associated with Karnišević and the Bulls. I don't know what you're hearing. I don't know what you would suggest. I hear wonderful things from everyone about Adrian Griffin. And even though he has not been a head coach before, it sounds like from everything that Eversley and Karnišević are saying about being player focused and emulating the best, that he would be an ideal fit. Is there anybody I'm not thinking about who you like?
Well, let me counsel some caution on a more general point there. I agree with you in that there's no one with anything negative to say about Adrian Griffin, and that alone is enough to get him some momentum in the parlance. But with regards to Chicago fans in particular, I think we're looking at two different things. One, there has been a lot of criticism levied in the past about the fact that they have hired so many first-time coaches and the perception that that is done in order to keep things cheap. If we are now saying they may pass up on someone like Griffin or Udoka, are we then being a little bit hypocritical? Are we now saying they should be going the first-time route? Why not before? They have to be mindful of that narrative, because a large part of the changes that the Bulls have gone through over the past few months are about redeeming certain narratives. And the second one is there's a lot of groupthink that takes place on things like this. Because these guys have not coached before, we have no empirical way of measuring them. We know only what we're told. Now, I'm sure in the case of Griffin in particular, and in many others, it is overwhelmingly positive. Of course it is. Why not? That must mean something. But beyond that, we're guessing. We don't know who is objectively good. There have been, I won't mention names, but there have been countless many times in the past that someone has been hyped up as the next great assistant, as the next great hire, and it becomes a thing that gets in the psyche, and then you discuss it, and then you start to believe it. But we're believing it without evidence. So, is that what's happening again? I don't know, but when it comes to the new coach for the Knicks or your own personal campaign, which I just heard very, very vociferously about replacing Jim Boylan in Chicago, the grass is not always greener. The other guys might tell you that the grass is greener, but you don't know that. So don't be have too much conviction about it. We can make objective evaluations about the past and the present, but the future, we're guessing. So let's not be too steadfast about it. That didn't really answer your question. Sorry.
No, but anything's better than Jim Boylan. No, we've seen this. So we know this. He literally put a punch clock in the practice facility with time cards because he once worked at an auto factory and he wanted NBA players to punch in. He literally did that. It wasn't just a concept.
Oh, no. Okay, maybe this is my naivety talking. I don't believe Jim Boylan will be there at the start of the next season. I appreciate the changes haven't been made yet, but it's a weird time now. I think it was archaic hire from a different type. I cannot speak for his tactical nous, but you're right, that does sound really weird, and it doesn't help with the lack of player-friendly narrative that the Bulls have been fighting against for the last few years. So I totally agree with you on that. But when we're talking about who to come in and replace, let's not pretend we know all that much, any of us.
All right, so here's we're going to set this up for real, that you're going to send our show some Buckfast so we can do a trial run of Buckfast, and we're going to send you the famous Chicago distilled, what do you even call it? It's a liquor, it's a kind of an aquavit known as Malort. Jepson's Malort, famously bitter, famously, shall we say, a highly acquired taste, if it is possible to be acquired. So we are going to do a transatlantic taste test exchange.
Excellent. So do I need to commit some antisocial behavior, or will that just happen naturally after I've drunk some? Because that's what happens with the Bucky. You have a drink of that, and suddenly that's it. You're breaking windows. You don't even know why. It's just in it's in the DNA. It's in the combination of sugar, alcohol, and despair that you get in that bottle. You have a bit of that, and before you know it, you're breaking things. You can't help yourself. It turns you into a different man. I'll do that if you want. It's for science, and it's for international relations. We're all stand to benefit from this, but should I just go to prison now, save some time? Is that what you want?
I think we'll test it out. I think that we're going to try the Bucky. We'll try the Bucky. You try the Malort. Because Malort, really, I think you just get all of the despair and none of the violence.
Ah, well, that sounds like an improvement already. I think if I was to ship some Buckfast internationally, I think technically I've committed a crime there. That is basically weapons trading. But I'll give it a go if you want.
Well,
I know it's a deal. I'll do it for 40 quid. That's not an issue.
And also, our texters do want to know, since you mentioned the Premier League, who's your team? Who do you support?
I'm an Arsenal fan, and I have heard all of the comments about our play this year, taking them on board, and yeah, not great. But yes, I'm an Arsenal fan.
My old man said be an Arsenal fan. Mark Deeks,
thank
you. He's
a good man. I like him already.
Thank you, as always. Appreciate it. That is a start of a cheer, by the start of a Man United cheer that I'm sure he knows, the second line of which I cannot say on the radio. Boy, he is always awesome, and I'm serious about doing that. We're going to get some Buckfast, he's going to get some Malort, and then we're going to have him back on. Thanks to Mark Deeks for joining us today. Also, thanks to Len Casper, Ryan Dempster, and Lamont Pope for being a part of this show. Thanks to Jay Zawoski. Thanks to Ray Diaz. And thanks to Kevin Zipak, who's also, I believe, an Arsenal supporter. He's the guy that gets me hooked up and dialed in every day, really, in more ways than one. So tomorrow, we are going to talk golf with Rich Lerner of Golf Channel, see how Tiger does today, and discuss all that and all kinds of surprises as well for a fun Friday that is coming your way. Mark Grody is up next in for Lawrence Holmes. He is going to talk with Will Salmon, who is from The Athletic in Milwaukee. And he's got another terrific show for you. This segment, by the way, brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Exclusively at Grand Appliance, get Chicagoland's lowest appliance prices, plus up to $500 back on qualifying purchases from top brands like Bosch, GE, KitchenAid, LG, Samsung, and more. Savings end August 12th. Shop safely online or in-store today at Grand Appliance, trusted since 1930. Keep doing what you're doing, or Mayor Lightfoot is going to turn this car around and kick us all out of it. So wash your hands, stay distant, wear your mask when you're inside public places, and wear it over your nose as well. If you are not, you're not wearing a mask. So don't be that guy in Menards or Jewel or wherever you happen to be. Just wear it over your nose, too, please. I really appreciate that. Listen to doctors and keep listening to people who listen to doctors. We'll be back at 9 for our Friday show tomorrow. Bye.
Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
This isn't a grilled cheese I'm making. It's a melty masterpiece that deserves a kitchen worthy of greatness.
Looks like my porch is full of packages again. It also looks like my compulsive buying needs to change to compulsive saving.
As I sit here on this couch, I decided to make some changes, starting with this couch.
I'd love to be looking out my window at a beautiful backyard instead of a brick wall. Time for a new house.
Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Russ Dorsey covers baseball for MLB.com.
We talk.